Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to review everything that happened on this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh, AW Dynamite, AW Collision, when they bother, pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete, a quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett today, Michael Sidgwick not feeling very well, so send your get-well-soon wishes to @MSidgwick on X. But Hamflett, lots to talk about on this Raw, and a double whammy for me, both Backlash and WWE Draft Fallout.
Oh, it's easy picking season, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, I got a lot of positives for this Raw, and not just because they actually started removing matches from the build from what they promoted on Saturday's Backlash. There was that's a lot of wrestling, and then they gave me a bit less,
yes,
and a bit more talking, and a bit more of the stuff I enjoy, as well as the matches. But the matches were strong.
Yeah,
I don't expect or often need match quality of this level from a Raw, but it was high. There were some surprises in how good some of this tournament stuff played out. And the balance felt, considering that it ended up being 7 of the 8 matches,
yes,
that ran, I would say the balance didn't feel particularly lopsided when you first saw them all. You're going, oh my God, one after another, but you're like, well, yeah, where's the bollocks going to come from? But it's all right. It worked out all right in the end.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a panic. Excited, but a bit of a panic. That's the, oh God, they're going to bury someone. Someone's going to get squashed in this tournament, or yeah, we're not going to get our usual bollocks from Monday Night Raw. We got all of that. I was sort of reassured, despite the fact there was a lot of wrestling. I suddenly thought, oh, it's right, it's Monday Night Raw, and I came with a little catchphrase: Monday Night Raw is where the best wrestle. Thoughts?
Look, when you were doing your intro, and I thought people are going to be looking on the wide shot, and they're going to see that our friend Raffone is in the place of Sidgwick today, and then you going two-footed on Collision like that, I thought,
well, where was that show this week? I mean, I'm glad because we had Monday off because it was bank holiday. Apologies that we weren't here.
Sorry about that. Legitimately very sorry about that. I thought, I know you don't get the sound of people's remote controls anymore. It's YouTube, it's 2024. Mm-hmm. But the sounds of people's mouses clicking going, no, Sidgwick, and Wilbon's made an AW joke in the intro. I think I'll give this Raw preview a miss. So I guess I have to sort of play dual roles here.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing at your brilliant AW jokes and
thank
also
you very much.
Slightly pushing them back. So I'll try and walk that tightrope if I can for the duration of this review. So no jokes about the inferior organisation, please.
When Wilbon, Dad's not here, we do.
Gets a bit silly. And I've like lost a day of the working week. I mean, spent it with my family. I've lost a day of the working week, so I'm just overexcited.
Yes.
I'm doubly excited, but then we'll get onto Backlash later on.
Yes, we've got a Backlash review coming your way later on today, as well as, well, of course, as the NXT preview, naturally.
Obviously. The main event.
So the show opened with a big recap of Backlash and that infamous main event between Damian Priest and Jey Uso. They made it look like a game of last, didn't it? Cole said, yeah, we're going to get some first-round matches. One was going to be on the live show circuit, and they're going to update you on that. That's the Kofi Rey match.
I don't hate house shows getting King of the Ring stuff. Mm-hmm. It's less than ideal to bait and switch your viewers with this, like, wrestling-heavy Raw and then take a match off from the off. Even and especially when they had to change stuff as well because of injuries and the like. It did come across, like, unprofessional is not the word. A little bit slapdash. Just don't overpromote. If you realised, wait a minute, where's our like 15-minute promo going to go? Where's our stupid skits and bits? I want the skits and bits. Just don't like lump so much in.
And they also announced, Drew McIntyre is out of the tournament because he's not medically cleared. More on that a little bit later on. But out comes the Judgment Day to start the show, led, of course, by Damian Priest. There's also JD McDonagh, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio. And, of course, collectively,
they're in the f***ing Judgment Day.
I'll miss that when they're gone. Starting to not miss them that much.
Do love Dom's mustache, though.
He's looking great, isn't he?
All right, wanker me.
What am I doing? Priest says, oh, everyone bloody loves Jey Uso, don't they? And we'll talk about that on the Backlash review a little bit later. But that doesn't matter. He's still El Campeon. He wanted to address what happened after the match, though, the beatdown and then him almost getting into it with Finn and JD. Balor apologised, but Priest was like, nah, I need to be the one to apologise. He said, I appreciate your help and I'm still champion thanks to you. I shouldn't have attacked my teammates. They're my family, he says. He appreciates JD McDonagh, called Balor his brother, and he hugged them. Dom's just stood there and he's like, yeah, big family, we're all part of this. As for now, though, the Judgment Day is still the dominant faction in WWE. And guess what? With no Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor gets a bye. First round bye to the next round, and Adam Pearce immediately comes out. And I can't remember who it was, just said, whose voice is there? and he said, actually, you have got a match and your replacement's here. The match is about to take place right now.
Yeet!
It's Jey Uso.
Yeet!
Rubbish entrance compared to France.
Aye, that's going to... that's a bit like a WrestleMania come down.
Yeah.
I imagine for Jey Uso to just have to have a quote-unquote normal entrance in Hartford, Connecticut, the XL Centaur.
Yeah.
Anything on that? The Sexel Centre, yeah?
Nice.
Yeah. The Judgment Day first, because we have to get to the match afterwards, I suppose. It's Jey Uso. But I like the good and bad to this. Good, Damian Priest being the one to forgive and forget is a babyface quality for the split and the turn, which I could really do with him getting to, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But you are establishing that he is a guy that has it in him to like lose his cool in the moment and then do the right thing and make right and apologize. Then not just trying to, like, dead badass. It's not that. It's like he's actually got like a sympathetic side that when these little rats turn on him, it's going to be very clear who the sort of the more principled figure was all along. However, there is always a risk. I use Randy Orton and Evolution as the example all the time. There is always a risk when the babyface turn happens because the heels have decided they don't like you.
Yeah.
It's the hardest turn to pull off. Randy Orton was mega popular in 2004 to the point where WWE thought, time to turn in babyface. But when Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista beat him up, it was like, oh, I think I'll just side with those guys. Like, they've just called him a loser. And that's supposed to be his standing start to life as a babyface. I worry.
Did get to gauze in Triple H's face.
He did. Something funny. We'd all like to do. So he got to enjoy that one. But yeah, my worry is that Damian Priest is not as over a babyface that you can have, that you can do that angle where you can have him get beaten up and he looks like the guy you want to back. I have a significant worry that in the end he'll just look like a guy that should have seen it coming. Like, to be fair, Triple H is... he lets his baby faces be smarter. You remember Bayley got the lead pipe out when Damage Katarl attacked, and that was the night they turned on her, so that she knew that this was a possibility. So they might give him something like that, but I don't know. And then you have Jey Uso come out, and you're like, yeah, the matches are never there. Who cares? He's a guy that is the kind of over I think Priest needs to be for this turn to work.
Yes.
And the difference in how they're received was, like, obvious. Like, Jey Uso... can he give? Probably not as a singles guy. I adore him. But like, he looks and feels and acts more like a world champion than Priest.
Yeah, it's sort of exemplified by my notes on this match. Because don't get me wrong, we've never taken a bump in our lives and what have you.
No.
But it was very much just the highlights of this match. Fun back and forth action. We had Balor sending Jey into the... Jey jumped off the steps and Balor nailed him, then sent him into the post and threw him over the announce table to take us to a break. We come back. Jey Uso makes a comeback. Goes for a splash. Balor dodges it, drop kick. But Jey dodges a coup de grace and gets a near fall off a spear. Not the same with just a 1-2, is it?
No. Huge pop. And then the match carries on. That was good, wasn't it?
Drew McIntyre comes through the crowd, which distracts Jey. I thought that was going to be the finish because Balor schoolboarded him. But he kicked out. Then Jey got hit by a sling blade. But as Balor's setting up to do that big drop kick to set up for the coup de grace, Jey nails him with a spear out of nowhere. 1-2-3. McIntyre gets in the ring. Massive CM Punk chance. But Jey bails and celebrates with the fans.
This was all about... I've just got now to say on the match, if I'm honest. this was all about the construction of Raw and the reconstruction of the King of the Ring in the absence of Drew McIntyre. So I'm wary of them going to Jay and Drew for anything longer term because we've seen it and done it now. Jay was at the root of Drew's, like the beginning of Drew's heel turn. It was him that he was most angry at, and it was like, why has everybody forgiven him? Why can't he be as angry as I am? That's where it all started for Drew McIntyre. I don't need to really revisit that, but it is quite a nice feature that Jey Uso has taken the place. And if you look at the brackets, stands quite a good chance of going quite a long way in this tournament as well, which again, Drew McIntyre will think, well, they're all my spots. Even though he hasn't won the matches, he'll be thinking, well, I should be king because you went all the way at the final or something. So not bad that. And obviously what it did was create the reason for Drew McIntyre not to be there for the segment later to come, which I think was important because we're carrying on this thing where one of the hottest programs in wrestling is between two men that currently can't physically wrestle. So they kind of their task most weeks is to find ways to keep that creative before you want them to get physical again. So I thought they did a good job with it. And Drew continues in these segments where babyfaces wrong him, continues to further unravel in a way that started at WrestleMania. So I like this direction. I like all the moving parts way more than like the action, but the in-ring got substantially better from here across the night.
Absolutely. And whilst I agree with you, it could be interesting to have Jay go all the way to the finals even, and Drew can say, I'm also looking at those brackets and going, we could get Dragunov Gunther in the semis.
They've put them where they've put them to give you that idea that it could occur, but I don't know. I think Dragunov might fall short next week. It's going to be next week, I guess.
I assume so.
Not got much time to,
We get a video package that the whole show was hyping up Gunther versus Sheamus. So they show the Clash at the Castle stuff and more promos to come from them later on. And then McIntyre's moaning in the back to Postman Pierce about being replaced by Jey Uso. And Pierce says, it's not about Jey, this, it's about your arm. Nobody knew McIntyre was hurt until he said something. He just wants to tape up and carry on, but medical's checked him out. He's not cleared. He's furious. He jumps in his, I think it was a Corvette, I'm not a car guy, jumps in his black Corvette and speeds off. And then, beep, beep, see him immediately pulls up in a, I've Googled this. It tells me it's a 1980 Camaro.
This was very like sort of 2020 AW pill, this, wasn't it? Car stuff.
Yeah.
Who was this for?
I don't know.
I've never, like, Punk Andrews, to be fair. You never don't associate these guys with like kind of being car aficionado. Is there a toy to sell? Do we think there's a CM Punk Drew McIntyre car clash?
Oh, probably.
And there'll be action figures in the.
They
toy
can't player. Wrestle, but we're going to do the Big Show Hulk Hogan monster truck thing again.
Like, bro, we need you to crush a car because there's a toy coming out tomorrow.
Oh my god,
that's pretty good.
Punk pulls up and goes, "Where's Drew?" And you just missed him.
This whole bit was unbelievable. I thought the Sami Zayn thing couldn't be topped, and then they put CM Punk in his place, and it was better than ever.
He says, "Hit my music." Most of Pierce presumably thinks, I'm far too far away from Gorilla to announce that, but okay. And we follow Punk as he goes through the back, and he has a little with Jackie Redmond about the Maple Leafs again.
How about them Leafs?
And Chad Gable's bollocking the Alpha Academy. He's like, right, Chad.
He says, like, he goes, he's up on these guys, eh? I quite like that. It's typical CM Punk, right? He's like, why be right or be wrong when you can be both, in fact? He wants to fist bump Chad Gable to prove that he's got, like, wrestling credibility, but he also is currently a babyface. He's like, come on, lay off these guys and kick their ass. CM Punk's the best.
So he comes out, obviously, huge reaction, talks about escaping WWE headquarters. I sort of missed this over the weekend. So he was there doing the Backlash stuff.
Yeah.
And then what? Got locked in?
It's great, this. I feel like it was a work, but it was a hugely entertaining one, even if it was. Yeah, he did the Backlash pre-show with Jackie Redmond and Big E and then went to do a workout. But obviously that was Saturday, like, afternoon in America.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess there's not many people in Titan Tower on a Saturday anyway. But Saturday afternoon turns into Saturday evening. He finishes at the gym and the building's completely key card controlled and he doesn't have one.
Brilliant.
He just walked in as a wrestler and they're free to use the WWE gym whenever they want and couldn't get out and had to just stay there all weekend. So he filmed himself walking around, like found like this really comfy sofa. People were like saying, where are you going to eat? And he was like, there's fridges everywhere in this building. So he like would go into the various corporate fridges and just eat food. He found Bruce Pritchard's office.
I saw this.
And printed out a piece of paper and scribbled Jim Herd.
Amazing.
The ex-incompetent WCW chief and stuck it on his thing. He found the bronze statues of Andre the Giant and The Undertaker and tapped him in the dick.
He found the WrestleMania 30 card.
He found, and this is why I think it's a work, right? He found the WrestleMania 30 card that he's on with that match against Triple H, hey, Punk, that's a main event. Yeah, for you, Punk. Like, if, which has, like, Brian versus Sheamus.
And Roman versus Dean's on there, isn't
Roman
it?
This is great, right? For those that haven't seen this, it's the WrestleMania 30 card. You all know the story. It was going to be Punk and Triple H, where he was finally going to be allowed to pin Triple H, and that was to facilitate Orton versus Batista in a main event. Yeah. That was to facilitate Brian versus Sheamus for the umpteenth time. It was like, Brian...
Well, this time we can give him a bit of time.
Finally, he gets his moment. That's what you're all saying yes for. And what else? Because it'll be there till the end of time. The Big Show versus Kane. Like, we couldn't get through a pay-per-view cycle for about 15 years without the Big Show versus Kane on it. And I just love that that was tucked in there. Like, thank you, Punk, for leaving. And I
saw that clip of Seth on the Stone Cold podcast talking about this from a while back. Mm. When they were like, we've just turned babyface. Cool. Roman versus Dean at Mania, probably. we've got... And I like the fact that Seth just opened and he says, we want to sell some merch. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I never considered that. Like, were they?
They beat up the New Age Outlaws in like 5 minutes because, as he says, Stone Cold, Rock, and Hogan went about 25 minutes longer than they should were supposed to.
And like that was for the best because that promo was fun. And
we in the Silver Dome,
indeed, we only had like a minute of School Trousers Kane to have to contend with on our WrestleMania. Would that have like been LTST for Seth turning heel? Do you think?
Maybe
because he was like the plan B.
Yeah, he was going to do nothing. Apparently.
Like, do you think the plan B verbiage came from he was WrestleMania's plan B? Oh, I guess I have to bloody give you a match then. Third member of the Shield.
You can be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You won't win.
Yeah, he'd have won it. And like knowing Seth, he'd be like, yeah, sorry, Cesaro, and he'd just done the Andre pose.
So he talks about that. Then he's escaped the HQ and he's come out here to be with the fans, but also to fight Drew. But of course, he's missed him. So he said, obviously, last week, I said I can do my business, not like that, in a shorter time than he was champion, 5 minutes and 46 seconds. But today he came to pick a fight, and he says, what if I just hijack Monday Night Raw, basically? What if I just stick around long enough for Drew to come back? If Drew's not a coward, he's always on his phone, he's always checking social media and what have you. He'll be sat at some traffic lights. He'll turn around. He'll come back and he'll catch the beating he deserves. And Pat McAfee, along with all the other fans, start tweeting Drew to say, come back. And Punk says he wanted to fight McIntyre on top of the same ice that Gordie Howe skated for the Hartford Whalers.
They had WrestleMania 11 at this building. Diesel defending the title against Shawn Michaels. I can't give you anything else on it.
He talks about the DDT heard around the world that injured him. Said he didn't end Punk's WrestleMania dreams, Drew, by doing that. He just postponed them. Punk called himself a five-tool player whilst McIntyre is just a tool.
Very nice.
Nice line. And McIntyre picked a fight with the pettiest man on the roster.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
I like, again, this is Punk being like, it's cool being saying Punk because you get to be right and wrong all of the time. I love that he got to say that line. And it's a knowing line when he's just basically done the Dynamite promo on Hangman Page as a work. Like, Hangman Page, if you're so tough, come out here right now, why don't you? Like, that was a shoot.
Yeah.
Fail that night when you did that. Like, now he's just getting to do it as a laugh and then he can still learn. But it's okay, because I know that I'm a petty bastard.
He's the best.
He's the best in the world.
He describes McIntyre as a hater who hated everything about Punk. All McIntyre does is talk about him. Does he hate Punk? Or does he hate himself? He says, Drew, you're a choke artist, not like how I'm a choke artist. Huh?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, crickets in these buildings. Like, it doesn't... People don't care, or they don't know that him and Jack Perry had a fight in AEW. People don't care, or they don't know what AEW stands for, quite honestly. Like, he had to... Punk seemed to spot that this just wasn't going to get the reaction, and then immediately, like, threw to Pat McAfee's response. Am I right, Pat? Am I right? It's like... The insecurity.
Sort of try and save it by making a vague MMA reference, basically.
The insecurity around that line, as it was being delivered by Punk, almost having the flashbacks of the last time he tried a little AW gag, made me think, well, why include it at all?
I said, what's your matter? What's the problem, Sid? Did you forget your scissors?
AEW are effectively monetizing a situation that makes a lot more sense within their fan base.
Mm.
And Punk has done just fine back in WWE. Like, I never thought I'd see it this way around, but like, Jack Perry is the guy that needs to carry around the reputation of what happened at Wembley, not CM Punk.
Yeah.
Like, it is time for WWE to move on from a thing that happened in AEW. Let it go. Because they just don't need it.
No. He said, Drew McIntyre prayed for all this, though. I'm the unforgiving consequence of your actions. You prayed for it and I broke your elbow. If you show up now, or if the next time I see you, I'm going to break your face and I'm going to break your heart. All this praying you do, I don't know if you're a God-fearing man, but the fact you haven't shown up tells me that there's one thing you fear. One name, three syllables.
CM Punk. Yeah. Good stuff from the punker as usual. Allays my fears of Cody Rhodes' less Monday Night Raw if he's going to rock up and do this once a week.
Yes.
That's 2 weeks in a row now where the gap hasn't felt quite as big without Cody there. There was a couple of great lines in here because it's a CM Punk promo, of course. But I think I need now, we've had 2 weeks of the cat and mouse element of this story. I don't mind that they're both injured and all they can do is talk. I think if anything, more programs should be forced into requiring creative flair. You know, if you're just having matches to build matches, I'd rather have like, me and Sid talked about this last week, there is a restriction on this feud, which is they can't be that physical.
Yeah.
Or WWE are not letting them be physical. And it's good that they've been forced to think of other ways to sell this story. And I think that's one of the reasons why people love it. But two fun weeks of the cat and mouse. Let's see what else is. I don't need a third. I think at some point it's going to, like, you risk the babyface CM Punk kind of looking like the arsehole if he continues to, just by this much, Drew. Like,
unless he draws a tunnel on a wall and then Drew McIntyre goes, oh, you must have gone down that tunnel. Bang. Oh, you bloody got me, you twat.
I would give you a bigger pop, but I was literally in attendance when WWE did that once with Hornswoggle and Jonathan Coachman and Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah. So
I've seen it done. So I don't like to wheel these things back into existence.
Ricochet, WWE speed champion Ricochet, I should say. Wasn't wearing his belt.
Hornswoggle got through the hole. Like, I never showed where he went. Blew the ring up at the end of the night as well. Got me the old ear.
Better than the exploding barbed wire death match.
Oh, yeah, the explosion was more realistic looking. I went to 4 years of those tapings. 4 years.
He gets asked.
Jeff Hardy beat the Dave Man at one of them, though. Pinfall over The Undertaker and Triple H in one night. Like, ultimate business respecting from Jeff Hardy.
Dead Man versus a spooky ghost.
I wrestled two guys in two matches. A second match.
Ricochet gets asked about his match with Dragunov. He says, yeah,
This payoff, I'm going to buy a house that isn't made of tinfoil. Never works out.
Because I put it on a thing that makes it spin sometimes.
My upstairs bathroom is a skate park. Of the hardest.
My plumbing's all half pipes, man.
You can't ride a quad bike in a kitchen. It don't work.
This is King of the Ring. This is my chance.
He's just won a tournament for a belt with a speed counter on it. He's like, it's about time I got a chance in life.
Tweet afterwards like, oh, it's all gone wrong. I was like, you're champion.
How to tell you that the stupid, fundamentally meaningless thing is fundamentally meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, they've not even escaped one show before. It's like, hey, you know that guy Ricochet finally won? Don't forget, he's a f***ing loser. Like, it was just...
Why didn't he wear his belt out to the ring?
I don't know. Like, what was Speed 4 again? What was the... Not the film Speed 4. I don't know if there was a...
Only two, as far as I'm aware. Cruise Control is the one on the boat.
Speed 2 was a boat.
That was class.
Speed 3 could be a goat.
Is there a Speed 3?
I bet there was a straight-to-DVD Speed 3, where it was like a... I don't know. There was a delivery driver or something that had a bomb in the food. And like,
I've Googled Speed 3, you know what it's come up with? What? That Father Ted episode.
Oh, of course, yeah. A milk float, there you go.
That was the third one in the franchise, officially.
Milkman, do it on your doorstep.
Previous episode, of course. Chirpy Burpy Cheap Sheep. Just a love Father Ted, man.
Love Pat Mustard. Yeah, the heel milkman. Yeah. He's good, isn't he?
Anyway, Braun Strowman comes in a cowboy hat.
Those women were in the nip.
Oh. What?
What?
14 hours ago. So he's going to return because he wasn't in Speed 2.
Was he not?
Nah. Some other bloke. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. She went her whole career. The amount of like TV presenters in the UK that have just spent all day staring down a mirror. Bullock, 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 Bullock.
She's in the second one, but it doesn't matter now, does it? Oh, Braun Strowman was here in a cowboy hat. He can't stand bullies.
Can't stand bollocks.
show him why you're called King Ricochet, you.
Miss him. Get him back together now. Yeah. It was nice seeing them together. Made me think that there's going to be a tag team getting back together. And that wasn't the only time I thought that on this show. Because we'll get to that later, I think.
Sorry. Sorry, Sandra.
If you're watching.
First round match in the Queen of the Ring. Io Sky versus Natalya. Nothing much happens initially.
Yeah, right, hang on. Not for the first time in this podcast, you're talking bollocks. Because I was watching this thinking of you being like, how's it going to spin this as being bad? Because it was pretty great.
It was good, to be fair. They came back from a break with a superplex, which was great. And I will say that sit-out powerbomb Natalya did was nice. Uh-huh. Yeah, Sky came back after the superplex, double foot stomp, dropkick gets two, and they traded until Natalya hit a sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. Natalya goes with a sharpshooter, but she doesn't get the match won. Weird that. Instead, Dakota Kai hops up on the apron, distracts her. That allows Sky to counter and send her head into the bottom turnbuckle. Meteora in the corner, moonsault 1-2-3. Post-match, Dakota Kai grabs the mic and says she's taking Asuka's place in Queen of the Ring against Lyra Valkyria. Warns Bianca and Jade that they're coming after the tag titles, and after Becky Lynch is done with Liv Morgan, Damage Control are coming for everything, basically.
Honestly thought Dakota Kai was going to call Lyra Valkyria bird person. At one point, which was just been the best. We'd have just had to isolate that for the soundboard, wouldn't we? But I thought this match was tremendous.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, great performance from Natalya here, and that's damning with faint praise, isn't it? But we know, we have a bit of a joke about Natalya on this podcast. Ultimately, what service she provides is always, feels like it's always for the wrestlers rather than for the fans.
Yes.
There's a Randy Orton quality to her absolutely work, in the sense that a load of wrestlers must have come on leaps and bounds making towns with Natalya. But it doesn't always translate. And every now and then she hooks up with somebody where you get both. Mm. I think she did it with Becky Lynch in the past. She obviously did it famously with Charlotte Flair. But this was that for me. Io was in the mood, like going 100 miles an hour through her stuff.
Damage Control got way better since Bayley left. Nothing against Bayley.
What is it, right? Damage Control. Like, Kairi Sane remembered how to wrestle. Temporarily forgotten Backlash. We'll get to that later. Because they turned it around. But like,
Kairi, I don't know what was going on with the ref there. But anyway, yeah.
Kairi's return wasn't great. And then it suddenly was. Dakota Kai is my favourite wrestler in the world, apparently.
Oh, we'll get to that, yeah.
And yeah, Io firing back here, obviously having lost the title. First significant match since WrestleMania, which itself was tremendous. But yeah, just racing through her stuff here, and Natalya being there for all of it, just took you back to when, I would say, like, you know when she turned heel on NXT, but was just simply too awesome to be booed for that long?
Yeah.
So then you found that, like, sweet spot where she was the kick-ass babyface. She had that, like, fantastic, underrated pandemic title run 2020 to 2021. I think she won it in your house and then lost it. Let me stand and deliver the following year. It was a longest run for the time. But that was where the best EO matches in this WWE run were coming from. She had that form here and Natalya was there for it. Really, really enjoyed this.
We got a video package for Dragunov, and then we got Dragunov versus Ricochet. I think this was my favorite match of the evening, despite Gunther and Sheamus in the main event. They start fast, obviously. Ricochet hits a knee to the face to take us to break. Ricochet tries a moonsault off the apron after the break, but Dragunov catches him with a released German suplex on the mats.
Oh, my God.
I need this quite a few times. Dragunov hit a springboard dropkick for two after that. Then Ricochet hit a hurricanrana off the top. Consecutive suicide dives. Basically, Dragunov sort of spilling around on the outside of the ring. And then, I don't know if they've done this before, but that...
Oh, the
camera angle that they cut to for the corkscrew plancher on the outside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for those that haven't seen this, Ricochet does a dive, like, undersells it, right? But, of course, so he's going for a corkscrew plancher, and for whatever reason, it's as if they've got a hard camera in midair.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't appear to be, obviously, it must be, the I don't know the technical term, is it the jib camera or something? I think it moves around a big stick.
Yeah.
Like, it's presumably that
only ever pops up normally when people can't see.
Yeah, but it's... almost a bird's eye view, isn't it?
Mm.
And it doesn't move, and it just stays focused on the match. And you almost don't realise it's cut to that camera until he's hitting the dive. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm in the sky too. Me and Ricochet are the same. Dragunov's bumping and selling. Sorry, I haven't even finished the recap. But Dragunov's bumping and selling throughout this was, like, you said you were there for the WrestleMania, the post-WrestleMania match when he was not called, but he was in, being introduced without too much.
Yeah, it was a lot of you had, arms folded. Let's see what this lad can do, sort of thing.
You had this insane, just extremely dragon off pilled video package beforehand about like the guy likes pain, and then you had a match that basically exhibited that instantly.
Oh yeah, in the man's words himself, I suppose he'd say this was.
Hang on.
Very frightening, actually.
Yeah, that video package was. I bloody love pain, mate.
He's terrifying.
I lift weights with a chain round my head. Okay. Go to another break off the back of that awesome dive spot. Dragunov hits a leaping senton off the top for two.
Eruption.
Chops from Dragunov. Super kick from Ricochet. Ricochet hit a lion salt for two. Dragunov came back with a running knee strike, but Ricochet hit a poison rana.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah. There's a button on that one.
He goes for another lion salt, and Dragunov hits a mid-air uppercut.
Yeah.
Hits an H-bomb, sets up for Torpedo Moscow, but Ricochet counters with the recoil. He goes up top. Dragunov gets him down with a superplex. It's another H-bomb. One, two, three.
Oh, my God.
Dragunov, on that superplex, basically brain-busted himself. Like, for the love of the game. There are times where I always worry when I'm going to praise a match like this that I sound like it's in bad faith when I criticise one in AEW, because you just get more of them in AEW.
Yes.
You get more matches like this.
Normalised it a little bit, though, as a
little bit, yeah. Of this standard, of this quality, whatever word you want to use, you get more of them than you get in WWE. But I can make space for them as long as there's a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are trying to introduce a character, like this wasn't as good as Will Ospreay versus Takeshita from Revolution?
Yes.
However, it served a very similar purpose, which was like, on the off chance, even though he's existed within our narrative universe, if you've not really seen what this guy has to offer at his best, here you go.
Mm.
Like, similar sort of principle, similar purpose, you know, different matches, and you can like one or more or the other, but this was a huge coming out party for Dragunov, because you know that Ricochet does this stuff, and at this point, it's been like 5 years on the main roster of him not really getting that far up with it. So it's like, well, when he does this stuff, it's great in the moment, and then we all just move on. So the test here was to have Dragunov do his version of that without it like just feeling like empty calories. Mm. And it didn't, it just felt brutal. It felt like Dragunov was like this brand new clear and present danger for the rest of the roster. He had to win. He had to win this as well, because if he'd have had like put all of this gumption and all this fight into these brutal bumps he was taking, and he, like, even when he hits a move, it hurts him just as much, and he likes it that way. And then he goes on to lose. It's a bit like, well, what are you putting yourself through this for? Mm. Approach these matches differently, tactically. Grab a hold. Grab a hold. Respect our goddamn business. But he doesn't need to grab a hold. He can do this and win.
It felt like a proper, like, Finn and Jay was what it was, but this felt like a proper tournament, all on the line match, didn't it?
You know, oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, this was like a couple of footballing cliches coming here, but you know when it's like, this is their cup final?
Yes.
Because the idea that they might not make the final, but this is it. Like, the other one is when, like, you see like a sort of a 16 or 17-year-old burst onto the scene, and you don't really know what they're good at, but they happen to be quick or something. So they just charge, and they've got like the confidence of youth, and they just charge through. Ilya Dragunov, doesn't matter what his actual age is, he could be frigging 65 to look at him some of the time. He's had a hard paper round. But we talk about this a lot. His TV age is zero, pretty much. So you have this golden opportunity to present the best version of him. And in that regard, as a character rollout, they nailed it.
I did like the bit after the match where Ricochet goes to do the whole well-played shake hands thing. Dragunov's really intense.
Oh, God. I'm surprised.
It's bursting out of his head.
I'm surprised every handshake isn't a thumb war to him. Just like, just 5 more seconds of grappling, please. Like, he sold me on himself over the course of that NXT run.
Yes.
That I consider myself part of that broader, idiotic WWE fan base that either needs characters like him spoon-fed, or like there has to be like a force of will, and it was sort of both in NXT. So I think he's going to get over. In this version of WWE, I think he's going to get over big.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Jackie Redmond interviews Sheamus, who says he's gone under the knife numerous times just to get back in the ring. Just to be clear, he does not like Gunther. He said, can you imagine if he was king? He'd be unbearable. At Clash, they had a banger. At Mania, they had a banger. And tonight, he's finally going to kick his arse.
Yep, fair enough.
Sign me up.
I suppose he could have fired a tweet out to promote it, but just thought the promo was enough.
Zoe Stark versus Ivy Nile in Queen of the Ring next. Ivy Nile's great. The delayed vertical suplex early on. I know she wouldn't go on to win this match, but again, it's those moments of like she's got something about
her.
Even though obviously Zoe Stark was going to go forward here. Stark comes back with a springboard drop kick. Nile hit a bulldog off the top for two. Stark hit a sliding kick for two, and then Stark knocked Ivy Nile off the top. Reverse suplex. Z360. 1-2-3.
Yeah, the work was fine. But this was probably one of the better in-ring versions of a continuing WWE problem, which is that women's undercard is just badly malnourished creatively. There's no reason really to back these characters. Ivy Nile had that run just before Christmas to get her ready for the Rhea Ripley match, which was not a good match, unfortunately, but she lost it as well. And then she was phased down into being Maxine Dupree's partner / cheerleader, the loose affiliation with the Creeds that might be coming to an end. So there's just nothing to really grab onto. Zoe Stark's at this point, similar situation. The Shayna Baszler, like, friendship has yielded quite a nice chemistry between the two, but not really any upward momentum. So what you got was a match between two wrestlers that are half decent to quite good, playing out to virtual silence on a Raw where any quiet spell was going to be drawn attention to because everything was going to be compared to Saturday and Friday's events in France.
This is top of Final Testament.
Well, indeed, yeah, there's always a rule-proven exception, and thank you, Mega Glove, for that. But, like, every single match, promo, and whatever on the show was going to be compared to what happened in France, and these were, you know, and CM Punk, same problem. Like, this is CM Punk we're talking about, and even he had it. Jey Uso, with that entrance, even he had it. It's like you're watching...
Becky's in-ring promo, it was just...
You're watching something, it's like, this is lesser than from what I've just seen on Saturday, and I think these probably suffered the worst for that.
Awesome Truth, or should I say specifically R-Truth initially, is backstage. He brings in UConn's men's basketball coach, Dan Hurley. He wants to face the basketball team because I think he thought the NCAA was a small wrestling promotion.
Oh, it was an indie fed, didn't he? Yeah.
And Miz is like, no, Truth, they're a basketball team. And Truth goes, sports is sports. I liked
one of the stronger weeks.
Yeah. I like exasperated Adam Pearce, though. I'll get back to you about our title defense. Thank you.
Adam Pearce, like, you know when we talk about like the whiteboard like WrestleMania season. What are we doing with Shane McMahon? That used to be the old whiteboard. The new whiteboard clearly has R-Truth's gag of the week in there as one of the priorities. But I honestly believe, like, Adam Pearce has gone to creative or used his power to just sort of say, listen, like, Chelsea Green's gone. People love my exasperated GM bit. Like, so right, we'll transfer that to R-Truth then. Like, I think in his mind, he's thought, finally, I've found my calling. It's a man made miserable by admin job.
I also like the bit where he's like, oh, thank God that's over. And then Bron Breakker shows up.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, you can help me, actually. Why aren't I in King of the Ring? He's like, should we have a chat in my office?
Wolf Dogs? The implication for those that haven't seen it, we know that some people like listen to this, so they don't have to watch Raw, is that Adam Pearce has plans and that like Bron Breakker was left out of the King of the Ring on purpose. But the plans better be good, because otherwise Bron's missed a golden opportunity. So interested to see what that is. And Wolf Dogs was the first thing that jumped out of my mind.
Yeah. And they've addressed that question, I suppose. Why haven't you got this amazing new star in the King of the Ring? So, yeah.
Yep.
Back in the clubhouse, well, sort of. Haven't really decorated properly. Priest tells Finn Balor he doesn't need to apologise for losing to Jey Uso. Hey, it's only one match. And McDonald's like, yeah, probably weren't 100% after Strowman attacked us, eh? And Priest says, yeah, you take care of Braun Strowman. JD's like, huh? but then Dom and his moustache come in, yeah. And Carlito's with them. Already a complete bastard, Carlito.
Yeah.
Aligning himself with Dominic Mysterio, of all people. I like the fact Priest said, it's literally a year to the day since you ruined my moment in Puerto Rico. Carlito's like, yeah. But I've got an apple. And if I scratch your back, maybe you can scratch mine. And Priest is like, I don't care. Get him out of here to Dom. And Dom's like, sorted, boss.
He was good at this the first time, but his... like, disinterested demeanor is sort of perfect for that. Yeah, sorry about that. Like, character trait that, like, it's really hard to pull off in wrestling because everybody's got to be so overblown and, like, enunciate every last word. Carlito's the one guy. Yeah, won't do that again. And he will. He'll stab me in the back again. That's his deal. I quite like that. Mm. I like that I acknowledge that and, like, didn't try to sort of basically have arseholes like us come on the internet and be like, Carlito came back to get you last year. Like, confront that.
Yeah.
Because Carlito's the type of character that will, he'll flip on you in the end, but like, you'll go on then. I'll give him one last go.
He's like, really hope Dragon Lee doesn't come after me again after he got jumped on SmackDown.
And that's it, isn't it? There's your program now. This is the last program for, say this about when like heels are going to turn or split up, like the Judgment Day in the LWO is the beginning of the end of the Judgment Day, isn't it? So
yes.
You would think.
Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, we all knew where this was going.
Mm-hmm.
We knew after what happened last week and blah, 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 that this wasn't going to get a finish. Leave it to Chad Gable in a match that's going to go, I think, under 2 minutes to still hit a huge German suplex to Bronson Reed and a diving headbutt off the top.
Good Lord, when that man pops those hips, I pop my tits.
Mm.
Like, he just, like, it's, he does that thing with his suplexes, and it could be Sami Zayn, it could be Bronson Reed, it could be Braun Strowman, where he finds just the right amount of, how much would this realistically hurt me to do this to them? So like, Sami Zayn at this point, when he's got his hands around his waist, when he's about to kiss his wife, I'm going to kill you,
yeah.
And just launches him. Like, you know he's got that strength and that, well, that physical dexterity.
Core, yeah.
Yeah, the core to get Bronson Reed up. Not with ease, but he's like, sorry, mate, off we go. And how he manages to time how long that takes when you're holding a body, the control of his own body is just amazing.
I like the way he comes out and he just looks at the people now, like,
he's pissed off.
As I say, actually, Reed got out of the way of the diving headbutt, hit a senton, but in comes Sami Zayn to attack Gable for the DQ, and he goes after both of them, but Reed cut off the Helluva kick, dropped Zayn, beat up Gable, he stood tall, and a nice shot again. This time they follow Bronson Reed through to the back, where Postman Pierce is waiting for him, saying, why can't you bloody control yourself? And Reed's like, I don't care about Chad Gable. I don't care about Sami Zayn. All I care about is the IC title. You know what you need to do.
Yeah. Based on last year, Sami Zayn's going to be one of the most over babyfaces at the King of the Ring, isn't he, in Saudi Arabia? So this is probably the place for that triple threat.
And maybe Sami retains there only for Gable to take it off in one-on-one.
I'd like that. I think that's the move. Like, they've protected, unless I'm forgetting, have they not protected that Sammy's not pinned Bronson Reed yet? Did he get him in the build-up to WrestleMania at like the last minute? I don't think he did. Did he? I need to double check that, but I'm sure they held on to this.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, they've used Bronson Reed as a guy that keeps beating Sami Zayn to show that he's not like ready for Gunther or that he's not ready to be champion or whatever. So I think he pins Bronson Reed.
And maybe, Gable's going to like superplex him off the top.
Yeah, Chad Gable has something to do with it, and that kind of tees up their rematch down the line where Gable finally beats him.
I'll tell you about the tweet we got on the news this morning pitching a future opponent for Chad Gable.
No.
Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like heavy machinery, as Andy Murray said.
Just for Chad Gable to suplex them both. At the same time. Yeah. Like Otis is holding Tucker, like they're having an embrace. Tucker's got his back to him for some reason. But they're having it, and it's like Sammy and his wife, and they're just like, it's so great. Like, Tucker's like posing to the crowd, and Otis comes behind. It's so great to see you, man. And Chad Gable's
I like that. A video package for Lyra Valkyria. And then Gunther responds to Sheamus, says he doesn't care about putting on bangers. More of a Bratwurst guy, I assume. He wants to be the greatest of all time. He's going to have no problem exposing Sheamus, a weak-minded people pleaser. He's going to be no obstacle for the ring general.
Yep. Good promo. Good promo. It was good. It's a good WWE promo.
Weird. And the weird start to what happened next. Becky Lynch has got a sit down interview with Michael Cole. And Michael Cole's like, hey, enough about all the wrestling. What's the deal with that hat at the Kentucky Derby? And I was like, does she not know you're going to ask this question? Because they were both completely all over the place here.
Second question on the hat.
What is that hat? Is it a hat? Yeah. It's a weird hat, but it's a hat, Michael.
Where'd you get it? I think they're going to have to go on. The website, was it Etsy? Wherever she got it, and Michael Cole's
that's what she said, yeah. Etsy.
Wear one on Raw next week.
Ooh, because he likes headgear, doesn't he?
Yeah. It can be called Hat McAfee for the week.
Oh my God.
Thanks. Yeah.
Sid is just snapping his keyboard. Can't keep getting away with this. Anyway.
It's a good hat, mind.
It is a good hat.
Like, they look great. Like,
did you like Seth? What do you think of Seth Rollins' outfit?
I was into Seth's entire look. I put this.
So I see someone describe him as the monorail salesman.
Yeah, I mean, that was really accurate.
That was good.
I couldn't think of anybody better placed to assess if Seth Rollins looked as good as I thought than Adam Nicholas, our producer.
Oh, good shout.
Seth Rollins, a former favourite.
You seen this, Nicholas?
Nicholas, a man of great style anyway, and I don't know about when it comes to, like, if stuff looks good or not. Look at me. But, yeah, broadly positive, Nicholas. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
On brand.
On brand is very good.
I like their dumb clothes.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of how stupid they look.
I like the big red shoes he wore that time.
Me too. Yeah, the big cartoon.
How much
ones.
Do you reckon they cost? I'm gonna say big red shoes. Hang on.
They are called big red shoes.
Is that what they're called?
I think so.
Yeah. Big red boots.
Clifford the big red shoes.
Bloody hell.
A grand.
$350, according to this dodgy-looking website I'm on.
I've seen prices of things.
Oh, hang on, wait a second. I think that might be, yeah. £1,170.
I mean, look at it. They're good. Adam Wilborn, the shoe.
Material details. Big. Red. Rubber shell.
Remember he did the stomp in them as well? Boop. He
killed the guy. Anyway, Becky Lynch puts over Alba Fire for her time as NXT UK Women's Champion, which I thought was good.
Better than good. It was friggin' amazing. Yeah. Nobody's ever put Alba Fire over for anything, and nobody's ever even realised the NXT UK title exists. Yeah. Becky Lynch dove deep.
She said she was like the longest reigning women's champion ever, basically.
Right, there you go. There's that Triple H masterstroke again. Create a reason that them two now have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So Becky Lynch can prove that point. Brilliant.
Isla Dawn.
Yep.
Kiana James, big business. Calls Lyra Valkyria the most gifted competitor, who loves this more than anything, who's got that fighting Irish spirit. Obviously, they've had history together in NXT. They had some really good matches in NXT, those two.
More on Lyra after her match, I think. Mm. Good night for her.
Also liked up Michael Cole bringing up Queen Zelina. Missed her.
On my kids' lives, I heard that name and I realised, she's the first Queen of the Ring, and I thought of you doing that.
She was great when she put that weird accent on for a bit.
And only for a bit. You can't.
What, Kavna?
You
I'm
can't.
The Queen.
Get out of my pub. I'm Zelina Vega.
They talk about WrestleMania. She says, yes, I was suffering, but fair play. Rhea Ripley was the better woman that night. But then I won the title 2 weeks later in a battle royal, and out comes Liv Morgan to interrupt. She's tired of being overlooked and underestimated. Probably not overestimated.
I'd be tired of that too. Watch me.
She reads a Wikipedia page for Money in the Bank winner, women's champion, tag champion, beat Nia Jax, took out Rhea Ripley, and still Becky Lynch doesn't respect her. Becky said, "You didn't let me finish. You're getting your title match, King and Queen of the Ring, 3 weeks' time. But you've done a lot, Liv, but you've never beaten me." And Morgan's like, "Oh, that's what I was missing all this time, purpose. Now I've got a purpose. I know I can beat you. I'm going to take everything Rhea Ripley loved, which means the women's title." There was that. I wasn't here last week. Did you mention
this? I mentioned
the thing
it
in the background with Dom.
One of the best bits of Raw. Of course, we mentioned it.
Dom and Liv walking out the same locker room.
They left the same room. They're going to be full time shoot sex havers by the summer. Hey, well, you really had to look for it.
Anyway, Damage Control interrupts. Dakota Kai reiterate what she said earlier. They surround the ring, a bit like the Shield, I suppose, or the Nexus. I used to love the Nexus back in the day. And then it went up to pot a bit, really. More of a core guy.
Said it a million times in this podcast. I'm going to say it again right now. I was in Sunderland City Centre about a year after the Core's peak, and there was a kid wearing a Core t-shirt. I just couldn't get over the fact that like a parent got a birthday present wrong. I was like, there is just no way. Like, you've not even gone to like a house show at Newcastle, and there's no Core shirts for sale.
I still remember.
Maybe they joined WWE t-shirt club.
Yeah.
And a Core one landed through
That's a good point. I remember, I think I've told the story before, my sister-in-law, one of the first like Christmases or birthdays since I was dating Anna Louise, and they got me a Rock t-shirt, obviously. Rock's favourite wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, it was between that and a Randy Orton t-shirt. I was like, why would it be between that and a Randy Orton t-shirt?
Oh, it's an Undertaker Funko Pop. Well, you love wrestling, don't you, Michael? Yeah. Never learned anything else about me, did you? Never even asked about the thing you did know about.
Anyway,
that's something else for the office.
Becky and Liv are all there ready to fight Damage Control. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then Liv Morgan obviously just slides
out. The beauty of making those jokes about your family members is that they'll never even watch this or engage with it anyway. It's the one that you're making them. Sort of proves the point, doesn't it?
Unless someone snitch tags them.
Just give me the cash.
And Liv Morgan just goes, I'm not fighting with you.
See
you later.
Yeah.
And it's left to Lyra Valkyrie to make the save.
Right. The promo stunk. The Becky Lynch, Michael Cole thing was excruciating. I did like the...
What's the deal with that hair?
I did like the Alba Fire thing, but the rest was trash.
Yeah.
The Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch exchanges were just excruciating. You see the Wikipedia recital, that whole deal. Yeah. Just to sort of just say, yeah, Liv, I heard what you're saying the last 2 years. I'm going to give you your title shot. Like, fine. But the turn was good. And Lyra Valkyrie being put in a position to make the save was great. And if you then add on to, like, if you include the match and you include the sort of the bonds built between Becky and Lyra, based on not just the fact that they're both Irish, but the fact that they've had this, like, fued in NXT, that Lyra beat her for the NXT title, all that sort of stuff. A really, really strong introduction for her on, like, unexpectedly so. I think if you look at the drafts, like, obviously everybody from NXT has to come up and you've got to give them a fighting chance. But immediately pairing her with the woman at the top of the division, who she's beaten in the past, couldn't be better.
And a good potential direction if they want to immediately switch the title to Liv, you can have Becky and Lyra take on Damage Control.
Yeah, I thought you were going to make some sort of joke about her flying over to SmackDown or something. No. But yes, that's earnestly a very good pitch.
Thanks. It rarely happens, but it happens sometimes. Just call me butter, baby. I'm on a roll. Sami Zayn gets interviewed, talks about his issues with Gable being personal, while with Reed it's all business, and he offers a triple threat match at King and Queen of the Ring. He's been knocked down tonight, just like he has been many times before, but when the pressure's on, that's when he's at his best, and he's going to walk outside of Arabia, IC champ.
Cool.
Yeah.
Get that done.
And then we got the Lyra Valkyria match. Well, on the one hand, completely buried. Hey, enough of this women's match. Let's check out Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes about 10 seconds in.
Yeah.
And then a break.
Not great.
Which cut it in half, basically. But after that, there was a crash in the corner off a Northern Lights suplex, followed by a thing into the turnbuckle to take us to a break. Lyra's on offense when we come back. Strikes, crossbody, fisherman suplex gets two. But then Lyra Valkyria is draped over the middle rope and Dakota Kai tries to kill her.
Oh my God.
Have you seen it in slow-mo, obviously, on socials and what have you? This stomp left nothing to the imagination. It was just like, I'm going to crumple your face into that mat. It looked great.
Yeah, sort of springboard adjacent coup de grace cum curb stomp.
Yes.
basically. Like, all that force and all that pressure, but with Lyra Valkyria, as you say, draped. So she's got absolutely nowhere to go. It's no. Neck on face and neck on canvas. Dakota Kai, man. Like, since she's unbelievable snap on Dakota Kai since she's, like, sort of returned. Everything she's done in-ring since returning has been fantastic.
Plus, that's a risky... Someone with a knee injury, history of knee injuries. Mm-hmm. That's a... I'm going to jump, potentially shift my weight by hitting you with one of my feet.
Yeah.
Try and protect you at the same time.
There's been no none of that sort of risk averse. I'm not going to do that anymore, which is totally understandable.
So wrestlers do it, by the Dakota. Way.
Yeah, I'd like this to be... I'd like this damage Katara are going to run Raw thing. I'd like that to be something that helps the women's division in a way that kind of the Judgment Day helped Cody's year where he wasn't champion. It's like, right, we're going to be pinball heels for you and plus one for the next year. Like, damage Katara on the women's undercard could massively help. And if Dakota Kai, now that Io's had a run, Asuka's had a gazillion runs, I think they only see Kairi as a tag wrestler anyway. I think Dakota Bailey for the... Oh, maybe not Bailey now, they've switched, but Dakota for the belt down the line.
Mm.
It's something that's never really been explored, and I'd like them to ultimately get there.
So Kai followed that up. Oh, no, don't. Please don't restart. Kai followed that up with a running corner kick, missed the GTK, hit a scorpion kick, though, but Lyra counted into the Nightwing for the victory.
Big win.
Yeah.
Genuinely a big win. Like, again, like Ilya, ultimately... You can't give people everything, but you can put your best foot forward. You can get your big win. And I, with the Becky Lynch link up as well, I don't think this night could have been any better for Lyra Valkyria.
Nice backstage promo from Kofi Kingston next. Talks about how it was meant to be Xavier Woods in here, but Gunther's taken that all away. And then I obviously re-listened to King Woods' theme because it's one of the best things that WWE's produced in years.
Oh. That theme plus Queen Zelina coming out the same King of the Ring tournament. That's just your manner from heaven, wasn't you?
So he says, if Gunther wins, I can't wait to give him what he deserves. But I've got to beat Rey Mysterio, the legend, the icon, the man I looked up to growing up. I respect Rey, but I've got to put him down like his name was Kendrick Lamar or Drake. So topical.
Felt like
who do you think's winning the rap battle, the diss tracks? What's your favourite?
Informed accounts tell me that it's Kendrick Lamar.
Indeed.
I'm glad I was having a really nice time with it. I had a really, really busy bank holiday weekend. And when I was able to log on to X to like read like backlash takes and stuff, I wasn't getting any. I was getting a lot of LeBeouf between these two rappers. And I just wanted to read more about
Frank.
Yeah, more about Backlash Rant. And instead it was just this thing. So I hope everybody's having a nice time with it. Doesn't sound like they are. Sounds like it's cutting pretty deep. But I'm sure both their stream counts will... higher than they are already after this, so everybody has to win in the end. Well, unless people go to prison, and it sounds like they both should. I don't know. The accusations that are being thrown around.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot.
Here's how detached from it all. I've read a few Twitter threads about it, so now I understand and I get the references. How disconnected I am with it all once. I remember listening to radio and they said, coming up later, J. Cole's going to be joining us. And I thought, Joe Cole's got a music career?
What's his take on all of this? I will say... It's a me thing.
Mm.
Everybody that loves this is having an absolute blast with it. I am just old, completely detached from pop culture. I prefer the work of Whopper with Da Chopper. Might check out his Vanessa Carlton remix on Spotify. I'm not a hip hop aficionado. I just choose my artists differently to the ones that maybe in your mainstream media.
Do you see what the cowards on commercial radio did, by the way? I'm not going to get too much on my soapbox here.
Oh, please do. I love it when you shoot on commercial radio.
Yeah.
What have they done?
So, Joe Hendry, you've probably heard of him recently. See him on the Sphere.
No?
People are like, I'm not sure if it was photoshopped or if someone just genuinely did it, but he was talking about booking the Sphere, basically. But obviously, a fantastic week for Joe.
Yeah.
Friend of the channel, lovely bloke. Worked with him for years, obviously, in WCPW. I believe in Joe Hendry charts. I think it charted at 6 on the download chart and 4 on the sales chart, on the official chart.
Amazing.
And then the big top 30.
The one that doesn't even really count.
The one doesn't really count. Yeah.
It can change live in... Like, as it's airing, so it can be fiddled if you just, like, set up a bot to stream.
There's all different rules in terms of streaming
Don't like it.
And I've told you this. I've interviewed pop stars before and referenced it, and they've gone, oh, it's not the real chart. so big top 40, right? How long's... Hang on, actually, I don't know why I'm asking.
Used to be the Pepsi chart, didn't it?
So I'm going to go on my...
Brilliant on the quiz machines. That, remember the pop quiz on the quiz machines? The Pepsi one.
I believe in Joe Hendry.
DJ we can't name anymore because he got in trouble.
I believe in Joe Hendry is 1 minute and 14 seconds long, right? This is a commercial radio station that plays the same 10 songs.
I've kept really quiet about this.
I'm sorry. I just got really pissed off about this, right, over the weekend. They play the same 10 to 15 songs on a loop constantly, right?
And the DJs are only there to talk bollocks.
Yes. He gets to four on the big top 40, and they play the clip. I play 1 minute and 14 seconds.
But it is a... Careful. But it is a song.
Yeah.
What's the discrepancy?
They were just like, what's all this mad bollocks about? Anyway, back to Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran.
Wrestling's not even real.
No, I'm going to be good. I'm glad to be out of that business, let me tell you. We're here to be at a big boys' play. Look at the adjective.
You kicking down the Hits Radio office with your box of bones. We're playing right now. Crate of beers for the top 40.
New Day rocks.
New Day does rock. Those DJs do not.
Main event time. Gunther versus Sheamus.
Sorry, you was the dead man of local radios. Really popped me. Like all of them saw Wilborn's court. And Louise, get my gavel. He's definitely, I got my gavel for traffic and travel. What the hell are you doing? You ain't giving Adam Wilborn a break for show. What the hell is you to be a business?
Criminal, I didn't get one.
I like to listen to Drive Time on my beautiful Titan bike.
He's put me on late at night for his safe. Safest option.
You were very much the Steve Lamack of local radio, weren't you? You were finding the hot new music.
As a sign of things to come, by the way, I interviewed a musician. I can't remember his first name now, but his surname was Montague. And I did a quiz with him, whether it's one of his song lyrics or a Shakespeare line called Montague or Montahu. And they didn't give me a breakfast show. But now I've got my soundboard, so who's laughing now? Needless to say, I am the last laugh.
Oh, I love it, man. 10 minutes before Montague's in, I'll go, what are we going to do? Well, a bit of his name says who, right? Write that down. That'll do. Got any ideas in the bin? Yeah, we'll just lift one right out of there. He's like, he's going in to talk about his art and his process and his new album. Yeah, that's all good. What's your name rhyme with? What's your name rhyme with? Huh?
They're lost. Main event time, Gunther versus Sheamus.
Seen Speed.
They smacked each other really hard.
McFly or Dragonfly? We've got 10 Dragonflies in, and you've got to decide if it's a band Sandra. Girl with five colours in her hair or Dragonfly?
Actually, I want to say quickly, McBusted.
Hey, 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 you all right?
Oh, God.
Sheamus.
What would you have done, right, if your soon-to-be favourite band of all time, the Arctic Monkeys, rocked up with that name? Like, you would have just been playing going bananas with the Arctic Monkeys.
We'd get up some monkey business, that's for sure. Monkey business. The chimp with the briefcase.
They all just go in to do their interview, promote their album and stuff, and you're just like dressed up in your best Saturday Night Fever. Adam, what's that about? I bet I look good on the dance floor. Traffic and travel. Doo-loop. Anyway, thanks, guys. I'm sure you'll make it. Interviewed these jobbers earlier on tonight, Ana Luisa. They're not going to get anywhere.
No patter.
No crack.
So my love of soundboards began.
What, the Arctic Monkeys?
No, commercial radio.
I thought you were going to press a button, it was going to play the car in its entirety. We all just have to sit and stare at the camera. It's good, like, I get that button.
So they twat each other really hard, to Sheamus and Gunther.
They sure do.
Sheamus hit a big tackle off the apron to take over as we went to break. We come back. Gunther chops Sheamus on the back. Sweat goes flying. And then I think Gunther's got him in a rest hold. And they go, look at Sheamus's back. And you can literally see the handprint, fingers and everything, of Gunther's hand on Sheamus's back.
It looks like, you know that Andre the Giant t-shirt where it's white with the red hand?
Yes.
To illustrate how massive he was. That was Sheamus's back. Incredible. I'm not a guy that likes the sort of check out.
In fact, you thought Andre the Giant, I thought Jack Swagger when I saw that.
Yeah, they actually made that shit as well, the little yeah. one.
Huh?
I'm not impressed by wrestler Instagram pictures or post-match pictures.
No.
Like, look at the bruised chest, look at the bruised, it's a work.
Who said right. that? The wrestler, I believe, who once said...
Brett the Hitman Hart never injured a guy in his goddamn life, right? The Gary Lineker of the business. And he loves crisps and he never got booked.
You're a crisp.
Actually,
right?
I've read his autobiography. He got booked quite a lot.
What do you think his favourite flavour of crisps would be, Brett?
Brett Hart?
Yeah. Prawn cocktail?
Prawn cocktail for the actual colour of the packet. But, like, I don't know, like... I think he'd go for ready salted.
Yeah.
You come to appreciate the quality of ready salted. He wouldn't like, he'd be angry that Salt and Shake exists because he was like, that's not what our business was all about.
Yeah.
You're supposed to let the fans enjoy the ready salted. You're not supposed to make them do the work for you.
I was always fizzing that. I don't understand the point of Salt and Shake.
Well, you were fizzing because you'd eaten one crisp and an entire packet of salt on and you were high as a kite. It was like, well, I'm eating paper, but I don't care. You are, as a human, the top crisp of a packet of Salt and Shake.
Thank you very much.
You're the first one. I'm the rest of the packet. Well, I've got them now, so I might as well. Like, people have tuned in this video, they've enjoyed your intro, the singular salted crisp, and it's like, well, might as well stick with this cardboard potato-y stuff for the next hour and 10 minutes.
Sheamus fought back with a backbreaker. Gunther took his head off with a clothesline.
How do we get to that?
I don't know. Sheamus hit White Noise and a power slam for some near falls. He hit 17, beats the Bodrin, but Gunther dodged a bro kick and Gunther distracted the referee whilst Ludwig Kaiser wrapped Sheamus's knee in the ropes and then drop kicked it to injure him, basically. Mm-hmm. He got kicked out, but basically the damage hadn't been done at that bit and Gunther was just targeting it. He smashes his knee against the ring post during the break and he gets him a leg lock. Sheamus fights back up, but then Gunther kicks the leg out of his leg, rips off his knee pad. Sheamus comes back with a clothesline and a nice lifting knee strike for two. Goes for the bro kick, but the knee gave out. Love that spot.
Yeah,
great. A lot of those in wrestling recently. Mm-hmm. I think it looked great. Gunther hits a powerbomb for two, puts him in a half crab. Sheamus desperately gets to the ropes. Gunther goes up top, but Sheamus cut him off and hit a Celtic cross for two. Gunther hit a German suplex, but Sheamus just no-sold it. Popped up, knee strike, bro kick. The fans, huge pop. They think he's got the match won, but Sheamus, because of the injury, takes too long to get over to him. Gunther kicks out, gets him in a half crab. Looks like Sheamus is going to get to the ropes, and then he just gets dragged back into the center of the ring, and Sheamus has to tap out, and Gunther is victorious. Celebrates as the show goes off the air.
And not for very long, because they were going right to the wire, weren't they? Brilliant. You got to watch it. We don't say that about every single TV match, and I'm probably higher on WWE ones typically, but you got to watch this. Sheamus and Gunther seem incapable of having bad matches. They are... for Gunther to come along when he did in Sheamus' career, it's such a gift, because I think a lot of people myself included, have reevaluated much of Sheamus' run and realised that sometimes some really lousy creative or some terrible booking, or just the fact that nobody really got anywhere in WWE, they didn't ever feel like there was a smooth trajectory. He's got the belt for a bit and then he doesn't. That was Sheamus' life, for what it felt like about probably everything up until the point when him and Cesaro formed the bar.
Yeah.
That was Sheamus' life as a singles wrestler. So you were kind of instructed to never care that much about the sort of emotional journeys he was on within his stories. It was just, did he hit particularly hard in that match or not? I can't remember, right? The segment's moved on. Gunther comes around when everybody's reevaluating the Sheamus career, the story, and looked and thought, man, he was kicking ass a lot of the time in a lot of these matches. And then an opponent arrives, it's a gift from God, that can hit even harder as Sheamus is entering like the grizzled workhorse era of his career. So I don't think Sheamus could have believably told the stories that he tells with Gunther when he was like a young buck.
No.
You know, if anything, he was monstering guys like John Cena for a bit until he was normalized by losing to Triple H at WrestleMania. Now he's got the size, he's got the experience, he's got the strength. but he's just not got the engine he used to. So when he finds himself on the wrong end, and ultimately it's done through chicanery, which is great. Gunther, for all that he can dominate and destroy and has done for all this time as the Intercontinental Champion, now he's also thinking, I'm going to cheat a bit as well.
Yeah.
Like, just when you think, like, when Punk calls
it's
himself...
It's a tournament. I want to make sure I've still got something for the later rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punk called himself a five-tool player, and Gunther's looking around and thinking, what's... Like, what makes me a six? Oh, I might as well start being a bastard and all. Like, so he's got, like, Ludwig Kaiser there to run interference to, like, turn the tide and create the target for Gunther, because Gunther knows, having had them wrestle in the past, that, like, his finishes just might not work. Like, Clash at the Castle took everything, every version of every kill shot that Gunther had to beat Sheamus. Same again at WrestleMania with Drew McIntyre in the mix. And again, in the TV match, the kind of the forgotten, underrated one from the Gunther title reign. Like, that's been the story of these matches. Sheamus just will not die until you stub that guy out. And this was the time where it looked like that wasn't going to happen. So when it pivots to the basically working the knee, the targeted area, it doesn't necessarily need to be a finish. It needs to be just how, like, cynically smart Gunther is at when to lock on the submission move, and not just because the referee said, we've got like a minute before we go off the air here. Like, it felt like a snap finish, but it was earned at the same time. The physicality is just probably unmatched in WWE. Is there anyone that kind of makes it feel as much like a fight? Sheamus is like no sell, kick out with everything I've got left, bro kick off the back of that suplex was Tomohiro Ishii level. Not many people, a lot of people steal it. Not many people can do it and do it right. But that, like, fighting spirit comeback, and then the pain kick, when he's, like, used all of his adrenaline just to fire up and hit the move to then have an adrenaline dump and not be able to drag what's left of his leg over for the pin, was, it was perfect. It was like wrestling heartbreak done well.
Didn't lose anything by submitting either.
No, and he's played a blinder in the post-match, because the tweet where he's just looking so forlorn with his, like, mincemeat chest, and he's just tweeted something like, there will be no number four. Well, there you go. You just set up your world title shot, haven't you? You're going to get one last go at Gunther, and it's going to be for the big one when that time comes. He's probably going to beat you again, but, like, again, yet again, people will join your fight and will believe you on the night that you're going to take Gunther's. Like, is he maybe Gunther's first challenger for that world title? You're AJ Styles, you're whatever. You could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Nobody needs to buy that he's going to win until the bell rings, and then you're just completely invested. Like, I don't think this was as good as the Backlash main event, which I think is currently my WWE match of the year.
Really?
But I think people will think this is WWE's best match of... I think there will be people online that see Gunther as the high bar in WWE now, and will subsequently... It's probably his best match of this year?
Yeah.
I think it's probably his... Sami Zayn, WrestleMania. I think this is better than the Zayn match. And
really?
I think people will see this as Gunther's best of 2024 so far.
Really enjoyed this, and I really, really enjoyed Dragunov versus Ricochet as well.
Yeah, really strong stuff.
Fun episode Raw. Let us know your thoughts on it either in the comment section below or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Send your well wishes to Michael Sidgwick at M Sidgwick. Follow our brilliant producer, Adam Nicholas, at It's Adam Nicholas. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, we're going to be here reviewing Backlash a little bit later on today and looking ahead to NXT as well. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.